I woke up with a start. It was 12:30. And I thought to myself, my religion sounds so pompous. My religion sounds so pompous. What a terrible thing to have a religion that is pompous. Pompous means superior. Pompous means better. Pompous means something that nobody else really ever will be able to aspire to. Nobody ever will be able to understand or utilize or be blessed by. Yes, I woke up with the concept that my religion sounds so pompous that even I, in looking at it and comparing it to all the other religions of the world, all the other understandings, all the other philosophies of the world, true, it does sound a little pompous. What do I mean by it? What does my religion really mean to me? Does it mean I'm a better human being? Or does it mean that I aspire for my divinity over and above being a better human being? Does my religion mean that I think there's something better that I can be? I think there's something, some better way that I can act, some better life that I can live? Do I feel inferior? Do I feel that I'm not being all that I can be? Do I feel that I am not expressing the highest and the best that's within me? Am I always looking for something better? Am I always looking to be something that presently I am not? If that's my religion, that's a very sick religion. That's a very unhappy religion. That's a religion of never to be, always to aspire to. Never to delight in, always to admire to. Never to wonder about and be amazed at and be thrilled with, but always to wish it could be so. If this is my religion, then I better go to a different church. I better go to a different way of being. Somebody else is I need a master. I need a teacher. I need someone to show me the way. Or am I just not able to show people who I am? Show people what I believe. Show people what are my dreams and goals and desires. For if I cannot show people me, then I am nothing. If I cannot show people me as the person that I am, as the man that I am, as the being that I am, as the unconditionally loving being that I am, if I cannot show that, I have nothing. The tinkling cymbal. I have nothing. But if all of my life, and as I think of these words, a great deal of humility comes up, and a great deal of intuition comes up, and a great deal of whatever comes up. And I feel that if that's all that I am, I'm not very much. Is there a God? Oh, there certainly is, far as I can understand. And that God is in and through and as everybody, including me. Is there a divine beingness that is the Christ in the world? Oh, yes. And that is the goodness that's in me and you. The goodness that's in me and you, that's the Christ. That's the divine. That's what I aspire to being day in and day out. Can I look at myself and say, I am good and very good? Oh, yes, I can do that, but then I begin to sound kind of pompous again. I begin to sound holier than thou. And yet, somehow that's exactly how it has to be. And what do you mean, it has to be? That's not how it has to be. That's how it is. Well, when you say that's how it is, that sounds sort of, there's no other way. Well, in my book, there is no other way. There's no other way but to be myself and be who I am every moment of my life. Now, who am I? Who am I every moment of my life? Who am I? Do I compare myself with others? I would not like to do that. Do I compare others to myself? I don't want to do that. They say as you get older, you get more foolish. You get more as a child. And I think that's wonderful, if that's really true. But I don't think the child in me ever left. I don't think the child in any of us ever left. The child in us is always there. The innocent, loving, unpossessing child is always there. Possessing, yes, of love. That's my daddy, my mommy. Yes, that's who I care for. Yes, that's the wonder for me. That's what I am. But is that really who I am? Who am I? Who is this person called Herb? Am I living my life to please others? Am I living my life so that everyone will look at me and say, he stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy is he? Am I living my life that everyone who looks at me says, what a noble, beautiful, wonderful creature? We were thinking about Steve Jobs the other day, and we were thinking, what a noble, wonderful, beautiful creature he is. And yet, I don't know that I've heard or read anywhere that he is a noble, wonderful, or beautiful creature. I don't know if I ever heard from his family, and I didn't hear anything from them, that he is a noble, wonderful, beautiful creature. I don't know if I ever even heard from his associates that he is a noble, wonderful, beautiful creature. I have heard that he's a very creative man. He's a very intuitive man. He's a very powerful man to carry out his dreams and his goals and his ideas. Would you say those are virtues that are quite good? I would. Does he have a religion? We don't know. Well, yes, we do. He's a Buddhist. But is that come to play in his workaday activity? We don't know. We haven't seen it demonstrated. Maybe it has. Maybe he does his Buddhist statements and his Buddhist understanding before he goes to work. Maybe that's his key to his genius. I don't think so. The key to any man's genius is not their religion. Or maybe it is their religion. The key to any man's genius is their religion of being themselves and having fun. Being themselves and having absolute delight. Perhaps one of the things that makes Steve Jobs so interesting is he is so wealthy, he cannot make a mistake. Everything he does is exactly the way he wants to do it. And if it isn't exactly the way he wants to do it at the time he's doing it, he creates it the way he wants it to be done. He likes himself. He doesn't have to say, oh darn, if I don't do this, I won't have enough money for that. He doesn't have to say that he is looking to the outer for who he is within. He just listens within and lets the within shine beautifully, powerfully, and wonderfully. What a glorious man. And yet, a glorious man who has an illness that is trying to throttle him. We all have illnesses that try to throttle us. Will he, with his understanding of who he is, with his love of unconditional love of himself and the world he lives in, allow himself to have this condition put him away? If ever we think that a condition on the outer is putting us away, we are forgetting that there is no outer for a condition to exist. There is only an inner for our life to exist. And if we have any experience that's in our world that is not to our liking, and it persists, then we are not taking control of that area of our life. Now, I'm not saying Steve's not good or bad because he has the situation. I'm only saying that he has the privilege of speaking the truth about himself, saying, I'm whole and perfect. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. He has the privilege of doing that. But in all the things that he's doing, is his mental demand more upon being himself and having fun and living the dreams and the goals of his heart? Even as he retires, is he still being that fantastic man who comes up with great ideas and carries them through? Can anyone else do what he does? And that's not the question so much as, does anyone else want to do what he does? And the answer is no. We say we would because we see him so successful. We say we would like to do the things he does because his life appears to be so fulfilling and so rewarding. But the most fulfilling and the most rewarding life is to live in our temple of the living God, to live in our one and one with the divine in us. Not superior to anyone else, not pompous in any way, but just to be our divine self. Now, many great people, many great leaders, many great leaders of religions and philosophies, many of the magical people of the world have fallen subject to some problem. A problem that eats them up, from the inside and eats them up from the outside. And if we concentrate on that, then we are not concentrating on the truth. If we concentrate on the illusions or the appearances, then we're not concentrating on the truth. Now, is Jobs really having a great problem from within? Is he living a fulfilled and a dynamic and a wonderful life? Is he living on the fast track, both in his business and in his personal life? Does he take time to be with himself? Does he take time to be with himself and to listen to himself and to meditate within himself? I believe he's working on that. Does he take time to be with his family and his friends and his loved ones? I believe he does that to a certain degree, as we all do. Does he take time to get away from the feeling that he must create to the feeling that he is the creator? He is the creator, and he does not need to create anything in his world inharmonious with his happy life. And that's what religion is all about. Religion is living in your body temple so beautifully, so wonderfully, so perfectly, that no matter what experiences you have, they do not destroy your objectivity and your subjectivity of being your divine self. Everyone on earth has opportunities to face circumstances, and how do they live through them? Are they the master? If while they themselves are suffering great needs, do they, like the master, say to others who don't understand them, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing? For as we judge ourselves and as we judge others, we are putting our attention on the direction of appearances, of illusions, of experiences that are not our reality. But as we look within ourselves and we find peace, as we take time to meditate, as we take time to listen to the divine within us, what do we hear? What do you hear? What do I hear? When I take a moment and listen to what's going on inside of me, many times I will sit in my home, and I will sit in a different chair than I work in, and I will meditate. And I will say, first, I am peace. I am peace. I am peace. And as I meditate and say, I am peace, I am gathering myself into the awareness of my reality, for my reality is peace. And as I gather into that reality that is peace, then I have a feeling of inner oneness, a feeling of inner joy, a feeling of inner completeness. I'm not seeking after anything. I'm not wanting something. I'm just being peace. And as I am this peace, my heart says all is in order. And all is in order. Then, and then alone, do I begin to understand who I am. In my time of meditation, my time of peace, I do not ask for things, seek for things, wish for things, want for things, even think about things. I just think about peace. I just think about wonderful, total peace. And as I think of this peace, I feel a great oneness within me, a great relaxation, a great peace within me, and it is so great. I don't feel that I want to be a master at times like this. I don't feel that I want to have a master train me in wisdom and truth and love and joy. I don't feel that I am missing anything in my life. I feel I am all things in my life. Quietly, intuitively, introspectively, I listen. For within me is all wisdom and all knowledge. There is no God outside of me. There is no presence nor power outside of me. There is no goodness, no supreme essence outside of me. There is only a oneness within me. And I feel so good. I feel so truly blessed. I feel I made it. I found my way home to the divine within me. I found my way to my heart. I found my way to my soul. Yes, it did. And how great it is. Oh, great emotions well up. And they say, it is great. And even greater emotions well up and they say, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Not the emotion of desire, but the emotion of joy, the emotion of peace, the emotion of fulfillment. And this emotion is so tremendous, so beautiful, so wonderful. In giving the 3-hour meditations, my greatest joy, after saying, God, I am God, God I am, for one solid hour. Then for another solid hour, I say, why, I can say I'm God. And I'm really probing my inner consciousness because it quietly goes about being God. It quietly goes about expressing the divinity that I am. It quietly does this. I don't need to chase it or wonder about it. And when I talk about it in the 3-hour meditation on the guided meditation, and I tell my friends about it, then that is wonderful. And when I give the 3rd hour and I have my conversation with God, it's a conversation with myself. It's a conversation with the goodness within me. And this conversation with the goodness within me makes me feel so great. It makes me feel so complete. It makes me feel so magnificent that nothing can compare to it. I am that I am. I feel that greatness every time I sit to meditate, every time I take a little while to be with my divine self. To listen to the divine within. To listen to God in me. Tell me all the wonderful things that life is. The divine in me brings me back always from being divine to being human. I'm on this planet Earth to be a human being, to be a beautiful human being, to be a caring, compassionate, joyful, loving human being, unconditionally loving human being. And unconditionally loving truly doesn't leave any room for compassion. Unconditionally loving is that it is done now. No possession, no control, no feeling that there's something yet to be. Being that way is the fulfillment. If I were to move on to another dimension while I'm in my meditation, I would be right at home wherever I am. And truly, we do live forever. We may jump from one dimension to another, delighting in the various adventures that we're playing. But are we playing each adventure as an unconditionally loving being? Are we playing each dimension that we travel to as a non-possessive being? Do we possess those with whom we are having our adventure? Do we possess our mothers, our fathers, and sisters, and brothers, and aunts, and uncles, and cousins, and grandparents? Do we possess them? And do we feel that they are ours? And do we wonder what they are doing on various dimensions? What a interesting thing to do. We can know if we choose, but rather, what are we doing on any and every dimension that we are on? What am I doing on any dimension that I am on? The goodness that I am is revealed by who I am. The goodness that I am is my maximum humanity as an unconditionally loving being. My maximum capacity of being me has no desire for anything, but enjoys everything. If I have an old car or a new car, if I have an old body or a new body, if I have people around me who profess their love and their delight, or if I have people around me who have not yet found themselves, but I can't have people around me who have not yet found themselves. Because whatever I am, I see all the world just like me. Whatever I think, I see all the world thinking just like me. Whatever I dream, whatever I aspire to in my most joyous moments is exactly what every person in my world does. For my world is a reflection of me, and that's my religion. If I look at my world and I see anyone in my world in any way that does not please me, I change my attitude about myself. And I look again, and I now see them harmonious with me 100%. Not that they are doing what I want them to do, not that they're being what I want them to be, but I can only see in them the goodness that's in me. What they see and what they are is the goodness that's within me. Being yourself and having fun, being myself and having fun, being totally myself and having fun, could there be anything greater, more beautiful? Could there ever be something more significant and something more magnificent than just to be that? That's my reality. That's my divinity. That's who and what I am. And how fantastic that is. How joyous that is. And now, am I too pompous? Do I feel my religion is too superior to everyone? Do I feel that I am the teacher and you're the student? Or do I know that I am always the student and I am always sitting at the foot of the master within me? And I am one as that which I sit at the foot of. And it is good. And it is very good. If any call me pompous, it's because that's what I have in my heart and soul. If I call me pompous, then that's what I have in my heart and soul. But I call me the ideal. The ideal being now. And I am so happy, so very happy that I have this privilege of being me now. I love you. I love you. I love you.